Man, you may be seated. This morning we are continuing our series of Untangling Christmas. Last week we looked at the shepherds and how we could glean a little more from the story if we understood kind of their roles in society and what it meant for Jesus to for God to make room for them in this Christmas story. And before that, we looked at the prophets. And this week, we're going to be looking at Mary. We're looking at the life of Mary. As we untangle this, what I would like for us to do is to try to take Mary, I guess, kind of out of the glittery Hallmark Christmas card. You know, she's got the aura and all this stuff. And let's try to free her from that, and let's see if we cannot connect with her on a human level, on a level of understanding kind of her role in the story and how we connect with her. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. And as you'll see, this is not a traditional Christmas text, but I think this is going to crack wide open for us a perspective of Mary that we can connect to, especially the moms that are in the audience with us this morning. So Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. As you're turning there, I'd like to say welcome to all of those that are watching with us on Facebook Live this morning. We have so many of you, our shut-ins, that check in with us each week. So we're so thankful that you are worshiping with us this morning in this third Sunday of Advent. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first, because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders and teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." This first part of verse 49 is, as a parent, it was just like a light bulb went off. I don't know about you, but there is a question that my son asks on repeat, and it never ends. It doesn't matter what the scenario is. And that question is, why? Right? Why? And so Mary and Joseph are frantically looking for their 12-year-old boy, and Jesus says, why? Why? Why are you searching? Why? And so I love Christmas movies, and I also love comedies, and there's one particular Christmas movie that I feel like illustrates kind of what Mary has gone through here. So enjoy this clip and see if you can't see Mary kind of in more of a tangible light. Kind of you can maybe relate to her a little bit.
Who's this?
That's Brooke.
Megan? Brooke? Give this to Brooke. This is Kevin? Give this to Kevin.
Give this to Kevin.
Kevin's not here.
What?
So So maybe Mary wasn't always walking around with the aura, you know, as she and Joseph are frantically looking for Jesus. So as we untangle the story of Mary this morning, the title of my sermon is, But Why, Mom? Right? Just let's not forget this morning that Mary, this, you know, and even in some contexts, she's even lifted almost in a deity type state that we have revered and we hold in such high esteem, and we should. She was the mother of God. But sometimes when we encapsulate everything in kind of a Thomas Kincaid painting type thing, we can pull ourselves out of the story. We can be just simply the person admiring the artwork. And I don't believe that that's what the Christmas story is. I don't believe that it's just simply something that we come to every year and we admire from a distance. I believe that the Christmas story is something that God very much wants us to all be a part of, to find our place in the story. And so as we look at the life of Mary, there are three things that I want us to draw from her that I believe as we untangle this year after year of doing it the same way, and maybe, you know, maybe you've never thought much about Mary, or maybe you've researched her and you're a biblical scholar on Mary. I'm not sure, but wherever you are this morning, I think there are three things that we can learn from Mary's life that help us find our place in the story, that move us from admirers of this story to participators in this story of Christmas. The first thing that I want us to learn about Mary and what we can learn from Mary is that life is messy. Life is messy. Sometimes we gloss over some of the details that are just glaring at us in the text. For instance, Mary is a pregnant 14-year-old, we believe around 13 or 14-year-old girl who's not married in a Jewish culture. Overnight, things got pretty messy for Mary. Now, Mary, when she encounters the angel, she rejoices. She likes to think about the conversation after the conversation. You know, where Mary and Joseph are having dinner with their friends, and they're telling them this is the reason Mary's pregnant. There were angels, there was God, and you know, and all this. And then Mary and Joseph go home, and then the real conversation starts, right? They've lost it. Yeah, right. We don't believe you, Joseph and Mary. And so there was, I'm sure, ridicule that Mary dealt with. There was probably talking behind her back. For a period of time, life for Mary was messy. It wasn't, you know, a glitter-covered Christmas card. It was a 14-year-old pregnant girl walking around Jerusalem, being judged as people looked at her. And then, as we read on in the story, we find that while she was pregnant and very pregnant, they have to take a long journey away from their home, and they have to go to Joseph's home back in Bethlehem. Now, a little over 5 years ago, when Jennifer and I moved to Georgia from North Carolina, Jennifer was 7 months very pregnant. And I can tell you, there were some heated conversations sometimes about changing hospitals and changing doctors and everything that she had planned out. And this is what Mary does. They call this census, and everything that I'm sure she had planned out as an expecting mother and the midwives and the friends that were going to be with her, all of that changes. They have to travel, I believe it's about 90 miles to Bethlehem. And then they get there. And we all know the story, and there's no room for them in an inn. There's no room for them in a proper place to have this baby boy. And so they have Jesus in a stable, a manger surrounded by animals. Let's be honest, for a period of Mary's life, things got messy. They were exciting, but they also were messy. They were messy for onlookers. They were messy for Mary and Joseph as they were going through it. Then they have to flee again to Egypt because the king is trying to kill all of the firstborn boys, and so, or the boys under 2 years old. And so for Mary, life was not necessarily a bed of roses because the angels appeared to her in a dream and told her these things. She had a God encounter, as if we are all believers and all of our encounters are going to be different, but we've all encountered God and we've placed our lives in His hands. And so Mary's had this God encounter. Now granted, mine didn't involve angels and lights and stuff like that, but the reality is my life has been changed because of an encounter that I've had with God. But as I look at Mary, I can connect on this level because you know what? Life still gets messy. There's still some hard days. There's still some difficult days. There are situations that I get myself into. There are situations that people get me into that I don't want to be in. You know, there's all kinds of messy situations in life. And sometimes when we just take the Bible and we take the stories of the Bible and we just admire them from a distance, we don't realize that they're going through the same things that we're going through. That Mary, her life, it got messy. You see, God doesn't always fit into our boxes. He doesn't always do things the way we want Him to do them. And so life gets messy. The second thing that I think we can gather from Mary is that life goes on. Well, what do I mean about this? Well, you know, sometimes we have in our mind that if we were just to get the right lottery ticket, you know, get that right scratcher or have the angels visit like Mary, like, you know, I'm going to wake up the next morning and everything's going to be different. And the reality is Mary did wake up the next morning. Things were different. But you know what? As Mary is the mom of Jesus, life goes on. She woke up to a screaming, crying baby that was hungry. She had to change diapers. She had to take care of her son. This boy, life goes on. There were many, I'm sure, sleepless nights and days where Mary's beating her head against the thing. Jesus says, why? 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 And if Mary didn't, she should have, because it really helps when that's going on. But life goes on, right? That's a hard thing for us to take sometimes. Sometimes we just want a quick fix, a quick escape. Like I said, you know, we want to be that Powerball winner, that everything's going to be over. It's going to all be fixed. And sometimes we get frustrated at God. Sometimes we think that, well, God, we've involved you in our life. Fix it, you know? Make it exciting every day. I don't know that every morning Mary woke up and it was a great day. But we know that she got up, and we know just from our text this morning that at 12 years old, they had a scare. You know, we've had moments where Jennifer and I are looking at each other, and I'm like, I thought Jack was with you. I thought he was with you, right? And it's like, well, where's Jack? And we have to go find him. And this happens, and this happened to Mary. Life went on. Life continued. Sometimes we think of that as mundane. The same old, same old. But the reality is, it doesn't matter the level of God moment you may have. It doesn't matter, you know, how high you may be feeling or how, you know, how big of a windfall you've caught this year and things are better. The reality is you're going to go to bed, you're going to wake up, and life goes on. And this is a good thing to connect with Mary on. Because like I said, sometimes we can so disconnect from these characters in the Bible, and we can think that Mary, you know, she does this, and then the next thing you know, Jesus is a grown man, and he started his ministry. And the reality, there were all these years in between, and Mary was his mom. She was Joseph's wife. And so, just because she was the mother of the Son of God, here on earth, life continued to go on. For me personally, this is something that is good to catch on to. I think sometimes I struggle with ADD, right? I get bored. I'm ready for something to change, something new. And sometimes the routine, you can get frustrated, and you can be like, well, I just wish God would have something, you know, different from me or things like that. And the reality is, it's all about what you do with each day that you're given. Which leads me to the last thing that I believe we can draw from Mary. And that is life has purpose. Life has purpose. And in the midst of her messy situation, the angel comes to Mary. And the way Mary responds is kind of backwards from how I would have responded. It says in Luke chapter 1 that when the angel comes, at the beginning, Mary is confused and disturbed. I probably would have been confused if an angel was there. But then after the angel tells her what's going to happen, Mary says, "May everything you have said about me come true." I think that would have been the point where I was confused and slightly disturbed after the angel, you know, had told me all of this stuff. But Mary rejoices. In fact, we have what we call the Magnificat. And I want to read that for you just to show you how Mary responds to this news. She is met with her cousin, and of course, John the Baptist is she's pregnant with John in the womb, and they rejoice. And Mary says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord! How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." This promise. He has made this promise. What is Mary getting here? This mess that is unfolding, yes, it's an honor and it's glorious, but there is a human element to this that Mary walked through. And I believe this morning that Mary understood that there was a purpose in this life. A God purpose. You know, we did a series earlier this year on the will of God. And we talked about how God's will, it seems, is this overarching desire for reconciliation, for restoration, to get things back to the way they were before they fell apart in the garden. And so Jesus coming in the manger, it's the solution. It is the ability for God to interject and to begin to change the narrative. And Mary sees this. And even though her life is going to be difficult, even though God determined it for her, it wasn't a decision that she got to make. I mean, you know, as Americans, we would get kind of frustrated with that type of thing. Don't be making decisions for me. Ask my opinion, right? But Mary seems to rejoice in this. And I've heard the phrase before, the joy of salvation. It's as if Mary has caught hold of this joy that is coming through salvation. I believe this morning that we can learn from Mary. We can learn from Mary because, yes, life is going to get messy. Yes, life, it goes on. But how we deal with life, how we move through this life, we can move through it with purpose, with meaning. You see, God's plan is big. And just like Mary is not the star of this story, but Mary has a part in this story, God has a part for you and I. We're not the star of the story. Right? Jesus, salvation, the restoration of the world, that is the point. But there is a key role that each of us play in God's plan, this purpose. And so life has purpose. And when we catch that, and we're going through the messy days, or we're going through the mundane days, it gives us hope. It really does. It gives us hope. It gives us something to live for, because you know what? We may be in a routine, and you may say, "Gosh, I blinked and 2 years have passed and I've not done anything with my life, and I feel like I just get up and punch the clock and I do it over and over again." But if you realize that it's not about that, it's about the people that you encounter and the lives that you love and the people that you touch, you realize that there's a bigger purpose. That God has called us to those around us. You know, I feel like as a church, the light bulb kind of clicked earlier this year, and how we've been doing things and what we've been doing is it feels like we've been moving into our purpose, our purpose in this community even. Because sometimes when you do church, it can just be like mundane. Life goes on. We're going to do the same thing week after week, and you can get in those ruts. But I feel like when we've, as a church, with the bringing the hope, and we've caught this specific purpose. Yeah, there are some days where it feels like we're just doing the same things. And yeah, there are some messy days. But ultimately, as long as we keep in tune with God's purpose, God's will, God's plan, then it makes sense. In conclusion this morning, one thing that's very interesting as we untangle Mary is she kind of has this come together a messy life, and then it's like, you know, she has this messy situation, and she's living her life raising Jesus, and then there's this purpose. But then Mary's life gets messy again. And it's like it's God's fault again, if you want to say that. But she's watching her son be beaten, right? She's watching Jesus be spit upon. He's found guilty to death. They're killing him. And so all of a sudden, Mary's life is messy again. And then they put his dead body in a tomb, and for 3 days, life goes on for Mary, right? Every day she had to get back up. They probably were the hardest 3 days of her life. But then Jesus, through the resurrection, he is alive, and once again, life has purpose. But this time, the purpose is for all of us. Where Mary's purpose, it seemed, was just for this Christmas narrative for a period of time. But now, after Jesus' resurrection, Mary's life, just like our lives, has this greater purpose. This restoring purpose. So my question for you this morning is, where do you find yourself in the story? Where do you find yourself in the story? Are you in a place in life right now where things are messy? Maybe things are messy with your kid or someone you know, or maybe you know people who things are messy. I challenge you to look at them differently, right? You know, sometimes people do things and they cause themselves to be in a mess. And the easy thing for us to do is to stand at a distance and judge. I don't know. Maybe sometimes God wants us to go get in that mess and help them out. I don't know. But you may be in a mess this morning. Or maybe you're in a thing where it just feels like you just can't catch a break. The same old thing. It's mundane. It's routine. Or maybe you're here this morning and you and God, y'all are jiving right now. You're loving your devotion with Him and your time with Him. Let that be contagious and spill over. But the reality is, wherever you are, you may be in a mess. You may be just kind of feel like you're in cruise control. Or whatever it is, Jesus has room for you in this story. There's a place for you in this story. Take it off the front of the Christmas card. You know, brush off the glitter. You have a part of this story that the baby Jesus coming to this earth is all about. There's a place for you. And we can really connect with Mary if we allow her to stand for herself, right? She's not the star of the story. That's not what I'm suggesting. It's all about Jesus. It's all about that. But yet she's still a main character. She has a role. She had a purpose. And for each of us this morning, God has a role and a purpose for us. And so, try not to get bogged down in the mundane of Christmas, right? The shopping and the parties and the, you know, Jennifer and I are like, gosh, we don't even have time for anything. Every single second is booked, it seems like, for the whole month of December. And, you know, it can get super overwhelming. And so I do challenge you to take a step back. Take a step back. Look at Mary. Rejoice in your salvation. Find purpose. Find someone who needs you to come by their way and just love them. Show the love of Christ to them. Jesus did not come the way that he did, and all of this just simply for us to, you know, put little figurines on our mantles or plastic light up things in our front yard. He did it to change the world. He did it to change you and I. And he did it in such a way that we have a place in the story. We have a part of the plan. So would you stand this morning? As we sing our close, let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for writing the story that has room for us. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, help us to find our place in the story, find our purpose in this life. And as we walk out of here, Lord, I pray that you would let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen.